Somebody left me a little gift here. It's a cough drop, in case I need it. My heart goes out to all fellow asthmatics, putting up with the pollen. Yeah, there's pollen. With the smoke, and I invite you to join me on a daily basis and pray for rain, because we need it. God bless all those who are on the front lines fighting those things. I've been watching the news and the coverage, and they moved the encampment of the firefighters to the fairgrounds because there are so many of them. And they were showing all these tents outside, and I thought, you know, these people are fighting fires all night long, and then they come and they have to sleep in a tent in 99-degree weather. And just, they're fighting fires for people they don't even know. God bless them. Amen. Today is Baptism Sunday, and every year I do a baptism message to kind of refresh and let people know what baptism really is, what it is not. I have had a lot of questions over the years asked of me about baptism. Here are some of the ones that I have received. Is it necessary for salvation? I was baptized as a child. Is that good enough? How do you know if it sticks? Should I get baptized multiple times? Some churches baptize only teens and adults. Some baptize children and babies. Some sprinkle. Some pour. Some immerse backwards. Some immerse face down. Some immerse three times. Some say that you have to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or it's not a valid baptism. Others believe that it is not a baptism unless you are baptized in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. The Catholics have their own little formula that they are required by their bylaws that they have to say it a certain way or the baptism is not valid. So there are a lot of ideas about what baptism is, what it is not. And today, I am here to let you know that here at New Hope Christian Center, let the scriptures interpret the scriptures. Don't go by some goofball somewhere and what they say. Let the scriptures interpret the scriptures. So here we go. What is baptism? In the Old Testament, there is no record of a baptism that happens. There is, however, a New Testament reference to the Old Testament baptism, and it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So the Israelites were brought under obligation by going through the cloud or the sea under the Moses law, the Mosaic law. This covenant was a conditional one. If you obey my commandments, then I will bless you. And if you do not obey my commandments, then I will curse you. Every single Israelite who was covered by the cloud, the protective cloud of God, or walked through the sea, were literally or technically, they were being baptized into the Mosaic law and given the option to follow it or reject it. The Mosaic covenant or law was a type and a shadow of a new covenant that would be ushered in by the Messiah. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5:17, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." In Luke chapter 22, verse 20, it says, "In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" He was declaring that the blood that I am about to shed on the cross is the new covenant that Jeremiah talked about in chapter 31, verses 31 and 33. It says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel at that time. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. God was saying that no longer will the covenant of Moses, which is written on tablets, there is a new covenant coming, and it will be fulfilled in my Son, in the Messiah. And I will write my law on their hearts and in their minds by the giving of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. And when Jesus was on the cross and he cried out, it is finished, he was declaring that he had fulfilled the law. Amen? All right, in the New Testament, the Greek word is baptizo, and it means to dip repeatedly, to immerse or submerge like a sunken vessel. Is it important to be baptized? I have had a lot of people say that I am a Christian, I believe by faith, through grace, that I am a Christian and I don't need to be baptized for whatever reason. Well, Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 15, it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. Baptism by water is a symbol. Actually, we're going to get to that later. But Jesus says, no, I am going to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. So he modeled to us being baptized is very important. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. You see, it's interesting that Jesus, before he started his ministry, his official ministry, he got baptized. And then at the end of his ministry, he mentions this in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. He starts his ministry with baptism, and he ends his ministry with, tell them to be baptized and to do everything that I have commanded you. Jesus gave the apostles three things to do. One, make disciples. Two, baptize them. And three, teach them to obey everything he commanded. Those are the three things that he left with the people that were going to begin the new church, the early church. So, is baptism a salvation issue? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If we just read that verse, it sounds like, yes, it is a salvation issue. But we read other verses that seem a little bit different. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. No mention of baptism here. Just repentance. In John chapter 5, verse 24, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from life, from death to life. Once again, no mention of baptism. Luke chapter 23, verse 42 through 43. Then he, the thief on the cross, said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. That young man on the cross had not given his heart to Jesus until he was on the cross. And he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus did not respond, get down off the cross first, repent of your sins, and then come back and we'll talk. He had no way of being baptized, yet Jesus declared, today you will be with me in paradise. It is... I got one more. Yes, I do. To say that baptism is a salvation issue is to say that the death and resurrection of Jesus was not enough. Baptism is an obedience issue, not a salvation issue. Amen? So what about infant baptism? When I gave my heart to the Lord as a young man, I knew in my heart that I wanted to be baptized. And I invited my mom to come to my baptism. And as we were walking in, she says, you realize you've already been baptized. Because I was raised Catholic. I was baptized as a baby. And she says, you've already been baptized. This is not necessary. And I said, Mom, the difference is when I was a baby, I was baptized for you. Now that I'm a grown man, I'm getting baptized for me. And she just kind of looked at me like, okay, whatever. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. It says, when they believed Philip, as Philip gave this incredible sermon about the gospel, about the way, about Jesus, him dying and being resurrected for your benefit, to pay for the sins that you can't pay for except with your life. It says that, but when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. It says they were not baptized until they believed the message that was given to them. The clear teaching of Scripture is that all who believe in Christ as Savior and Lord should be baptized in obedience to Christ. The New Testament order is always the preaching of the gospel, the acceptance of the message by faith on the part of the hearers, repentance, and then baptism. That is always the order. Beyond that, we can argue that infant baptism is potentially detrimental. If an adult mistakenly assumes, if he was taught that way, that because he was baptized as an infant, he possesses salvation and is a member of Christ's church, then he is sadly deceived. I've known a lot of people who are raised Catholic, and the Catholics teach that you cannot go to heaven unless you are baptized into the Catholic Church. That's it. That's why when you go to these incredible cathedrals in Europe, they're almost always a smaller but almost as beautiful building that's called the baptismal. Back in the early days, the 11, 1200s, they would build these next to them because they did believe that if you were not baptized into the Catholic Church, you would go to hell. And they wanted to make sure that they baptized babies as soon as possible because the mortality rate of babies was very high. So once they got the baby stabilized, they whisked them off to the baptismal and had them baptized so that they could go to heaven. This teaching still goes on in the Catholic Church. And I've had a lot of people say to me, I've already been baptized. I'm good. Because I was baptized as a baby. And if you're basing your salvation on that, it's very sad. It's very sad. Excuse me. There is no grace imparted in the physical act of baptism apart from the faith of the one being baptized. To count on one's infant baptism as the basis for standing before God is to trust in a false hope. You can't go to the meeting room and say, hey, I was baptized as a baby, let me in. Even if that is the teaching that you have held to your entire lives. How old should a child be before they are baptized? We are going to have a young man baptized today, Josiah, Aaron's son. And he asked me, Papa Jim, can I get baptized this year? And I says, well, what does baptism mean to you? And he most eloquently spewed it out. And I went, yes, young man, you can, because you understand what it means. Amen. Last year, we had our baptism at the roach home, a home completely infested with roaches. And after we got done, I was drying off, and Josiah came over, and he looked up at me, and he goes, Papa Jim, that was some good baptizing. Incredible young man. So how old should a child be before they are baptized? Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. It says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When they heard the message, and they understood the message, and they understood how much they needed the blood that was shed and the grace and the mercy of our Heavenly Father, that is when they said, what should we do? And Peter replies, repent and be baptized. That's a young person needs to understand what baptism really means. That it is a decision that they are making on their own. I've had a lot of people come to me and say, I'd like to get baptized again. And we're going to talk about this. And I ask them why. And usually they say, I got baptized as a young child and I didn't really understand what it meant. My friends were getting baptized, so I did as well, and I didn't understand what I was doing. And I said, not a problem. Not a problem. And that brings us to our next question. What about multiple baptisms? And I've had a lot of people say, I was baptized for my friends. I was baptized for my mom and dad because they wanted me to. I didn't really understand and I didn't know and I really didn't care. It's like, yeah, I'll just go get in the water. So if someone comes to me and says, I'd like to be baptized, the first thing I do is ask them, or baptize again, I ask them why. And if it's a legit reason, I've had people that have been baptized many times. And that was when the person said to me, how do I know if this one's going to stick? Well, there's no magical pixie dust in the water. And if it doesn't stick, that's on you. It's a heart issue. You don't understand what this is. There's a thing that's called repent, which means turn away from what you're doing. Baptism is not a magical sprinkling of incredible powers from on high that you're not going to struggle anymore. Yeah, you are. You are. But when we understand what it fully means, it is to give our full to God. And you're making a public statement that I am going to change and I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to help me change. That's what it means. So, like I've said before, there are many different ways of baptizing. And in the early church, there was no record of baptism in the Old Testament scriptures that they could look back on as far as how do we do this thing? What does it mean? How do we go about it? Do we have to say certain things? Do we have to do certain things? And there's a treatise. It's from the early church. And they used to circulate letters to help the early church do things because it was all new. Nobody really knew how to do this thing called church because it hadn't been done before in this way. And so they would send out articles or treatises, and one of them was called the Didache. And it's also known as the Lord's Teaching Through the 12 Apostles to the Nations. So it was a little booklet that they would send out to help churches know how to baptize, how to do communion, how to do this, how to do that. It was written in Koine Greek, and it was dated by modern scholars to the 1st or 2nd century. So what is the right way? So here is the quote from the Didache. "But concerning baptism, baptize in this way. Having first recited the Christian precepts, baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in running water. But if you do not have running water, baptize in some other water," meaning still water. "If you do not have, if you cannot baptize in cold water, then do so in warm water. But if you have neither, pour water three times on the head in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." There's actually a pope that had to send out a document to the Catholics during a water shortage. And because there was a water shortage, they were baptizing in beer. And the Pope sent out a document to the priests and the cardinals and the bishops and said, "If you are baptizing in beer, stop. It is not a valid baptism." "But before the baptism, let him who baptizes and him who is baptized fast previously, and any others who may be able. And you shall command him who is baptized to fast 1 or 2 days before." The model that Jesus gave us when he got baptized was he went into the water and he came out of the water. That's it. There's no special prayer that's listed. There's no, you have to do this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this. And this. Leave it up to people. Leave it up to us to screw things up. It's like politicians. Things are so simple, but they make them so difficult. And we do the same thing. We make things that are very simple, simplistic, simple meaning. And we screw it up by adding the do's and the don'ts and the shall nots and the shan'ts and the this and the that. It is a simple thing with an incredible meaning. But we like to just screw things up. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 36, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is some water. what can stand in the way of my being baptized? He understood the message. He understood his need for a Savior. And he said, there's some water. How about we baptize? Philip didn't say, wait a minute, I have to get out my instruction manual here and make sure that I say the right words at the right time and you do the right things, otherwise it's not going to stick. No, it was a simple, there's water, how about we baptize? I have baptized in rivers, I've baptized in lakes, I've baptized in pools, and I've baptized in hot tubs. Wherever there's water, if someone wants to be baptized, they understand what it means, let's do it. I did the one in my hot tub because the person didn't like cold water. Okay. I didn't say, nope, sorry, hot tubs are not valid. I have not baptized in beer, though. Yes. There may be a time. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. You guys are getting out of here early today. What does baptism mean according to the scriptures? It is a rite of immersion in water as commanded by Christ, by which one, after confessing his sins and professing his faith in Christ, having been born again by the Holy Spirit unto a new life, identifies publicly with the fellowship of Christ and the church. Number one, it symbolizes total identification with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Number two, it symbolizes our identification with Christ's church. And number three, it symbolizes cleansing from sin. It is a symbolic act. It is an outward expression of an inward change. If you don't have that inward change, the outward expression doesn't mean a thing. It should be taken very seriously. And I believe that every Christian who professes to be a Christian should be baptized as an act of obedience, not an act of salvation. Baptism is not going to save you, but it is an act of obedience. When Jesus was baptized by John, Matthew Henry had this to say. It was an instance of Christ's great humility that he would offer himself to be baptized by John, that he who knew no sin would submit to the baptism of repentance. As soon as ever Christ began to preach, he preached humility. He preached it by his example, and he preached it to all. Christ was designed for the highest honors, yet in his first step, he humbled himself and was baptized. That's why we do it. I figure good enough for Jesus, good enough for me. Amen? Please stand. Today at 1 o'clock, at the Roaches home, we are going to baptize those who have signed up. But if you're here today and you've heard this message and you never really understood it before, and you'd like to be baptized today, we'll be more than happy to do it. Just come and see me after the service, and we'll add your name to the list of people that we're going to baptize today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, and I pray that those who are going to be baptized today, that it would be a day of a fresh start of a relationship with you. Lord, let them understand what it is that they're doing. Be changed by your Spirit. And as they declare before others that they are going to dedicate their lives to you, Lord, I pray that they would walk in obedience as you help them along, as you have helped all of us along. We thank you for that. What an incredible
gift that you have given us in your Son. I pray that you would bless the rest of this day, Lord, and I pray that you would send the rains. Be with all those firefighters and first responders, Lord, as they battle these flames. Be with their families as they're away from their families. And just ask a blessing upon each and every one of them. In your name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.